Blog Talk Radio.
My people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. The Lord said then they would turn from their wicked ways. He would hear from heaven, forgive us of our sins, and heal the land. It is a great pleasure and a joy to be back with you. I'm Dr. Jerry Robinson, and this is Blog Talk Radio. Our subject has been, If My People. I've been coming to you live here for a couple of weeks and months now, and just want to say it's a great pleasure to be with the listening audience again. I want to give a shout out to TaylorMade, Mr. Patrick Cook, and all of the other hosts who made this possible for us to come to you in this manner. God bless. Look forward to seeing every one of you continuously as we go farther into this broadcast. Listen today. You know, I've been talking about communications of faith. We started off this blog radio broadcast with communications of faith, and the Lord told me that we had an alert, and you know, as any commercial break comes, when you watching your favorite program, and all of a sudden you look around and you see inside of that program there's an emergency alert, a warning. Like the last couple of nights, we've had severe thunderstorms coming into the area, and alerts would come. And I just wanted to interrupt your favorite broadcast today, or your favorite program, whatever it is in life, and tell you that there is an alert in the land. And it goes with 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, which said, If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, the Lord said, and seek my face and turn from their evil or wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and heal their land. That's the alert today that I want to bring to you. It has been heavy in my heart, and it's been very, very weighted with me to bring this alive to you. And I just want to say that it was impressed upon me by the Lord to minister this particular word from this particular segment. All right, we talked about last week. We were at the edge of, and I left you with a question last week about, has America turned away from God? Or should I say, have we ever? Well, I won't say that. Anyway, we as a nation, you know, even in our currency, we say, in God we trust. And that has been the main focus of our country as a whole. We came here as a people, some of us in other different directions, and I don't want to go there with that, but the bottom line is we're here in this country, and it has given us, we've been given constitutional rights to be able to worship in freedom, and so many people have misused that in this day and time. But the emphasis and the very, very was brought by the forefathers of the founding fathers of this nation, were that we were to come here and to worship the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, as a people. Now we hear the Lord talking in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, to the children of Israel, saying, if my people, which actually he's saying, which is really a great thing, my people. And I want you to know that, yes, we're all of God, but not all of us belong to him. And somebody said, well, what do you mean? Well, let me explain that. We've all been born, and as the Bible says, as the word of God, your Bible, says that we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. So we came here in a messed up situation. Oh, and I don't want to go there about that. You know the story. If I'm not catching you in the middle of the story and you're well read, you know that in the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis and all, we read about Adam falling and sin coming into the earth. So you know that part. Most of you do, of those of you who are listening. Now, look, let me say something to you today before we really get started. I didn't come here to put anybody on a psychological guilt or condemnation trip. I didn't come. That's not why I'm sharing this from my heart today. I'm sharing this because I want us to come to a place of conviction. And there is a difference. I don't want you to be guilty, and I don't want you to be condemned. Guilty was when we were in the garden and we thought we had fallen from the grace of God. Condemnation is when we don't understand who we really are when we become a part of the family of God. Now, I came here today for us to make a repentant cry to the Lord. And repentance is a part of our communications of faith. Let me tell you something. I'm so glad that the word repentance is in the earth today, because if it had not been for repentance, I never would have met the Lord Jesus Christ, and neither would you or anybody else who has experienced what we call the born-again experience. And for those of you who are not born again, hey, you ought to try it. You've tried the rest. Why don't you try the best? God, wow. Anyway, and so I didn't come here today to bring anybody to a place of condemnation or guilt. I came to make you free from that. And if you're not even guilty or haven't had any condemnation, you didn't have a conviction. I want you to know that without God, we are nothing. We are nobody. We have no place. All right, let's get on into the Bible here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14, and verse 14 starts off that thing, if, which we shared last week. We talked about Solomon and who he is and gave you a little bit of description of his purpose and what he had been assigned to do in the earth. And let me tell you something. Everybody has an assignment in the earth. You're not here by happenstance or either by accident. There are no accidents in the universe. I know that they have that word accident. Something happened without anybody knowing. But I want you to know that we serve an all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-present God. Somebody said he's omniscient, omnipresent, and omniscient, which is not, I mean, he knows everything. He's in every place. I'm not present. He's in every place. Yes, he is. He knows everything. He's omniscient. And he's all-seeing. He has eyes everywhere. They run to and fro in the earth looking for people like you and me to trust him. If it's a condition, it is a choice, it is a place. You and I have to live there if we're going to serve the Lord. He says, if my people, which is making it a singular, my people, his people, ethnic groups, nations, remnant, the remnant of Christ, which is the Israelites at this particular time, dealing with that particular community. They were a model in the earth. Solomon was instructed by the Lord to build a temple. The children of Israel were a model in the earth. They were constructing a temple that was somewhat similar to the one that's in heaven. And now, all of a sudden, they are assigned this responsibility to show forth God's presence in the earth by building the temple, which is a physical structure, and in housing inside of it the Ark of the Covenant. And, you know, I mean, there's so many things in the Word of God, I just don't have time to explain everything. But well, I tell you what, we're going to start writing blogs and sharing with you about some of the things that God has already assigned to us as a people. And I just want you to know that we've been asked to study, the Bible says, ask to study the Word of God. Timothy said that we should study to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so therefore, today, you and I have the responsibility to share the Word of God and to study it and to share it with others. Okay, if my people are conditioned, God says it is a condition that you and I have to face in this life, because all of our choices are made on condition. 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 The Word of God is of this particular place a condition. People, he says, if my people, an ethnic group, you, me, whatever group we're in, it would be black, white, green, yellow, orange, whatever color we want to fall in, whatever category we fall in as ethnicity, we are people. And we are nations and groups of people, and we need each other. I want to say that. You know, the Proverbs writer says, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto a man. Seemeth right. You know, you and I have ways. We think that our ways are the right ways. But actually, the ways of the Lord in the book of Romans says that we went about to establish our own righteousness, but we did not submit ourselves unto the righteousness of God. So therefore, you and I have the opportunity again, a choice, to submit ourselves to the way that God has assigned to us, which is his way, the right way. Listen at this. We've been accusing our society of certain lawlessness, of the things of law that we have not, some people have not just really geared into, or they are lawbreakers. And we call them, we build prisons, we build institutions, auxiliaries for them, because they become lawless or they break the law. And so therefore, they felt that what they were doing maybe possibly was right, or either their way was the way that it should be done. And because of laws already established, they broke the laws. And they want to establish their way of doing it. Well, I don't want to go there about that. All laws are not good laws. I can agree with you on that. And all laws are not right laws if they're not concerning you and I as for our well-being or as a people. But the Lord was in the prophet here, Solomon, is instructed to write laws. He's dealing with laws that were in the Ark of the Covenant. They were called the Ten Commandments, and they were commandments given to you and me to abide by. And out of those things, if we broke them, we were not able to stand in the presence of the Lord. But as long as we were, as we took privilege and opportunity to observe them, then we were in right standings with the Lord. So here we go. I'm saying to you, as I hear the Lord talking to us as a people, it is righteousness that exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And that's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Listen to me. Our nation. When I think about our nation, I become disturbed. Because we, as I shared last week, we've been in immorality for a while here. Immorality is, if you go back and study any historical document, you'll find that immorality is the downfall of any nation. And I can tell you that right now, the United States of America as a whole, as a country, as a people, our nation is in trouble. Because, and I shared a little bit with you last week, we're doing everything and all the things that we desire to do under the sun as establishing our own way. And we are calling the Lord to be involved in what we think is right. But I want to tell you today that if we're not going to do it the Lord's way or God's way, then we are headed for destruction. my people. You know, if, like I said, and I shared with you last week that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You and I have the power in our mouth. The Bible says, even in the book of Romans, chapter 10, if we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. God is saying to the children of Israel here in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called, and I had this last week as a summons, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. Now, let's talk about that. The proverbial writer says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. I shared with you last week that the Lord said, I set before you today life and death. He said, and this is a multiple choice question. He said, but I'm going to give you the answer. I'm not going to even leave you in limbo. I'm going to give you the answer to this multiple choice question. It's A or B. He says A is life and B is death. He says choose life. Listen at that. Now, we are snared by the words of our mouth and overtaken by the words of our mouth. It's what comes out of our mouths that determines our life. It determines our destiny. It determines our future. And I know that maybe that may be hard for some of you to understand. But if we say that we are calling on the name of the Lord, then he's going to hear us. And that comes out of our mouth. That comes out of you and I. It comes out of our vernacular of speech. If we will call whatever dialect, whatever language, whatever language that you and I carry, American, French, German, whatever, African, any dialect, any language, if we would call upon the name of the Lord, he said, he would hear us from heaven. Listen, what type of people am I talking about here? I'm not talking about secular people as such here. And I know that people are all over the land and all over the world. And secular is actually just people, the word secular means people who are living in a society of government. Now, the government for the secular society that you and I live in, basically a lot is controlled by either presidents or queens or kings or rulers or magistrates, or people of high authority. And so our government here in the United States is ruled by president, vice president, cabinet, Congress, representatives, elected officials in districts of local places, governors of states, heads of states, people who have senators, people who have judiciary rights of control over us. Secular. I'm not talking about secular people here. I'm speaking now. God is talking to you and me because we're not somewhat as characterized as secular, but spiritual. So here we go. The Lord is saying to the people whom he has elected to be in the earth as an example to all other people and all other nations and all other ethnic groups. He said, if my people, spiritual, you and I, who are spiritual, if my people, what do you mean spiritual, Brother Jerry? Explain that to me exactly. Well, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, who is the head of the church, who is the head of your life, who is the head of my life. He is the person that you and I are to be ruled by. He is ruler of our lives. Now, actually, if you want to know the truth, he's the ruler of the secular and the spiritual. But a lot of people don't know that. So that's why I'm here today to explain that to you. That's why the Bible goes on to tell us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is king, he's Lord, he's president, he's the ruler, he's the CEO of the world. He is the absolute ruler, absolute king, absolute epitome of who a ruler is, not just for the secular, but also in all that, more in particular, you and I, spiritual. You know, that our government in the Bible, you and I, we are governed by a book, as I shared with you, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, but also in Ephesians chapter, I think it's around about 5, chapter 5 and verse 11, Is that 4 and verse 11? Yes, I'm sorry. Chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's our government. We are under that particular rule. You know what I'm saying? I shared about being lawless. People in our day and time now, they don't like to be told what to do. Everybody is about being free as of such, quote unquote. We have freedom, and we have freedom to do as we will. But let me say something. Any society that doesn't have a government is reckless. Any society, I can go back and say that any family that doesn't have some type of governing body is reckless. Everybody, any institution, any framework of any business that you and I even conduct on a daily basis, without authority or without government, it's reckless. And why do we want to? And so my question is today: How is it that we are in a governed society, but yet we live reckless? And that's my whole point. Yes, that's why I'm talking about there's a summons today. What is a summons exactly? A summons really is a word that is a court order. It is given by a judge, a righteous judge. It is given by a person who sits on a particular seat of authority and gives a summons to call you to court. Now, if you don't go to court, they have guys that will come and pick you up and help you to get there. they call that thing a warrant. They'll send out a warrant to get you if you don't go to court. So here's my plea to you today. God has given you and I a summons. He's calling us. He's calling us to himself. He's saying, I've got a court order here, and I want my people to come to court so we can sit down and reason together. A summons. He's giving us a call. He's calling you and me. He's saying, if my people, which are summoned by my name, are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Listen, God, this is how I'm communicating my faith this week. You and I have been called, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, we are the salt of the earth. In verse 14 it says, and we are the light of the world. And so the Lord is counting on you and me today as his people to call on his name, the Lord Jehovah, the King of Kings, his son Christ, the Lord of Lords. He's calling you and me as a people, as a nation, as an ethnic group to call on him. He said, and if my people were to call, we are called. Now, let me talk about call here. We've been elected, or as the scripture goes on to tell us, in this particular passage, in whose name we are called, whose name we have been elected by, and that is the Lord. You and I have been selected and elected to call on the name of the Lord. Somebody says, well, you know, the world is just getting worse and worse and worse, and people are getting worse, and society is getting worse, and communities are getting worse, and I just don't know what we're going to do. I got good gospel news for you today. I have the answer for you. That answer is this. You and I have been elected. We've been selected. And we've been called on by the name of the Lord, as well as to be called by the name of the Lord to come to court. We've been also called by the name of the Lord to be an example in the earth. And this is what he's saying to you and me, without a shadow of a doubt. If you, who are called by my name, that is our assignment. He, listen to this. As I shared with you last week, somebody says, well, who's responsible for all this chaos? Who's responsible? Who is responsible for all of the horror that we face in this life? My friend, it's you and I. Somebody said, what do you mean? I'm not responsible for what goes on bad. Well, somebody said something that one man said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. In other words, sin anywhere is a threat to salvation everywhere. And all I'm telling you is that you and I have been given the responsibility. Well, Brother Robinson, please break it down. Please, man, get to the point and tell me what you're talking about. Righteousness, I shared with you earlier, exalted a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. So if righteousness exalted a nation, then you and I are responsible for the nation being uplifted. You and I are responsible for the nation moving forward. You and I are responsible for the nation not being sick. You and I are not are responsible for the nation to be healed if they are sick. You and I are responsible for the nation to be uplifted if it's down. You and I are responsible for the exaltation of a nation. Now, here we come. Now we get into the nitty-gritty. Here we go. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm not really responsible, am I? Yes, you are. Yes, I am. We are responsible as being models in the earth. We're telling people that God's way is the right way. You and I are telling people that the Jehovah's way is the right way. Jesus' way is the right way. And so, therefore, we now hold, we are held accountable of being examples. Now, if righteousness is exalted a nation, then you and I have a great responsibility today. I want you to feel the charge. Feel the charge today. We're being charged by the Lord. He says, you know what, if you'll just do these simple steps that I've given you, if you'll do these simple things that I've laid before you, he's talking to the children of Israel now. He says, then will I hear from heaven. Then, he says, you know what, I'm not hearing anything until you do that. Okay, so now that adds a whole new meaning to some people's prayers, doesn't it? Somebody says, well, I prayed, did anything happen? And I've been praying and blah, 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 blah. I just don't understand. Is prayer that then? Why didn't something happen? And why did that happen? Well, you know what the Lord says? He's talking to you and me today. He said, if we who are called by his name, first of all, would humble ourselves, in other words, we would put ourselves in a place of humility. That means to bend or to bow. It means to be brought down into subjection or be subdued. You know what? A lot of people feel that being submissive is a crime. Women, something, you know, the Bible, some men always work this scripture with women when they're wives. Wives, be submissive unto your husbands as unto the Lord, you know. And yeah, well, that's right. That's true. And it is a great thing. And submission is being humble. And it is bringing oneself under subjection and being subdued. And I don't want to go there about the wives and the husbands. I just want to give you that scripture as an example. But you know what he says unto the Lord? You know what, guys, you and I are not acting like the Lord, then wives don't have to submit. Uh-oh, did I say that? Yes, I did. Okay. Anyway, well, that's another story. That's another time. That's another day. But he says we have to humble ourselves, be subdued. We have to be subdued by humility. That means to bend ourselves. It means, you know what, I want to tell you, if we won't have humility, we're going to wind up humiliated. Our country is going to wind up humiliated. Even as it was in 9/11, I hear that echo calling to me. 9/11, humiliation for the United States of America. You know what, we're getting ready to run out of time. But I tell you what, as we petition ourselves before the Lord, I just want you to know that you and I have a right and a responsibility to hear what God is saying to us and to obey it and to do it. And that will bring you and I into a place where God can hear us, can deal with us. And then he said, I'll not just hear your prayers, but I will answer your prayers, and I will give you some remedies for the answers which you've been seeking me for. And this is the way that you and I, we're going to have to approach the Lord. We're going to have to do it the way he's asked us to do it. Do it with joy. God bless you today. I love you. Be back with you next week as we talk about if my people